Bokeh Tov world. Today's daffin is Sechet Zvachim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Samach Aleph, and we've still got some thinking to do about this sugya that we're involved in, teaching us all of the permutations, developments, evolution of the Mizbeach, the relationship of the various Mizbechot throughout history. We're going to get more into that today. But meanwhile, let me just remind you that after we had the Ma'amar of Rav, that a Mizbeach that is Nifsal is not usable for Zrikam, and it will actually possible Karbonis that were ready to be taken care of and then became also once the Mizbeach was Nifgam. So we also had the Ma'amar of Abaye that even though what we were talking about before was Kachay Kachim, and the moment that Kachay Kachim are unable to be eaten, there it said, Gadafka Dishyari Hamincha. Rabbi says that the same thing is true even on Kachim Kalim, and he brought Raya from Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was rather complex. It was dealing with the relationship of Meiser Dagon to Bechor, but it turned out that you can't eat a Bechor without an actual presence of a Mizbeah. So because of that, he says the same thing would be true in Kachifachin in general. Whoa. Oh boy. I'm being attacked by a massive storm center here. I hope the windows don't blow out, but all right. So anyway, they sit over Abaya's beautiful insight to Rabbi Yirmi and Eretz Yisrael. He burst out laughing and he talked about how stupid these people are. In Bavel, they live in an Ara de Chashucha, and they say Shvaitetim de Chashuchin, and it's ridiculous, and how is it possible that he didn't know that the Halacha is not like that, because otherwise we're going to have a contradiction in the two Braitot. One of the Braitot says that it's possible to eat, actually, Kachim, even when the Mishkan has been taken down, because it says, Yishnei Mekomot, Mashma, where you're in your Machana, or where you have no Mizbeach and you're traveling, right? So how do you explain? The other one says that you're actually allowed to, I think the first one I said was you're allowed, and the other one says that it becomes Nifsal. Now, how do you explain that? Must be that one is Kachim Kachim and one is Kachim Kalim. So you see that there's no din of not being allowed to eat without being next to Mizbeach, which means not literally next to, but to be Semech on a Mizbeach, that is Shalim. This is HaMizbeach. And the Mizbeach when it's Shalim. So he thought that was ridiculous. Okay, but then today we have Ravina coming to say that actually there is a way to explain it perfectly well according to Abaye. And that's right on the bottom of Amud Beis on Daf Samach, where Abaye Amar Ravina, what's the problem? Both Braitot could be talking about Kachim Kalim, and it's still not a problem. Because when it says, one of them says that you're allowed to eat, and the other one says you're not allowed to eat, that's true. What's your problem in that? After all, remember that Abaye didn't say this based stam on his own svara. He brought a raya from Rabbi Yishmael, who said in the name of the Shorsha Zakenim, and this particular thing he said about the one zaken that we quote here, which is that you can eat meiser. You would have thought you could eat Meiser Bisman Hazeh and Yerushalayim, and he wakes up from Bechor that you can't. Okay, so that would be Rabbi Shmuel, Einachinami. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Bosser of a Bechor and all Kachim Kalim can only be eaten on a Mizbeach, which is Roy, for Dam, because the Torah puts together the Dam and the Emurim and the Bosser. So fine, so here Rabbi Shmuel would say the same thing. And therefore, he wrote the Braita that once you set aside the Mizbeach and you're traveling, and remember, when they were traveling, the Mizbeach was covered, and there's no Mizbeach. So therefore, if you cannot have a Zrikas Dam, you can't have a Chila either. That's perfectly well according to Rabbi Shmuel. Masha Inkei, Ravina holds that the Rabbonin, there's a Rabbonin that argue with Rabbi Shmuel. And that's the other Braita. So what are you saying, Abaye? You're laughing at Abaye? Or I could say the other way. I could say, actually, you misunderstood the Braita that says you can eat it b'shnei mekomot. It could be both Braita that are talking about Kachay Kachim, And when the second brisa says that you're allowed to eat in shnei mekomot, which you assumed meant you're allowed to eat it when you're in the machane, or in the midbar, and you're allowed to eat it when you're traveling between the various places that the chanayot were. That's not what it meant. It meant that the shnei mekomot are two different matzavim, not literally two different places. The one matzav is kodem she'amidu levim et ha-mishkan. So before the levim put up the mishkan, we're going to see exactly the language of before, but what we're talking about over here is that if there is a mishkan, and then you have basar, you can eat it. The acher, the other places, after not the whole thing was taken down. The Mishkan was taken down, but you're not traveling yet. There's still actually a Mizbeach there, and according to Tosfos, there's still Kiloyim there, and there's no problem. You can eat it because you still have a Mizbeach, and you don't need the actual binyan of the Mishkan. And remember, that's the way that it was done. When they traveled in the Midbar, so first they took down the Ohel and the Krashim, that traveled ahead, then the B'nai Kahat brought up the Kelim, and then when they came to the new Mokum, they would be first putting up the Mishkan itself, so that arrived first, because that went before the Masa'ot, then came the first Masa, then came the people that were carrying the B'nai Kahat, all of the kelim that need to go into the Mishkan. So they would first put up the Mishkan, and then by the time everything arrived, and that meant a Mizbeach, that they would already have a Mishkan there. So in the time, which is after we took down the Krashim, but the Mizbeach was still there, so then it says you can still eat. That's the point. Those are the two places, but only if there is a Mizbeach there. So that would work out even according to Abaye. So why do we need to say this particular way of understanding it, and the Braita needs to say that this is true? I'll tell you why. Why would I have thought that it's not true? Because I would have thought that basically, if you've taken down the Mishkan, according to Rashi, even the Kaloyim were taken down, so then it became Nifsal, not because there's no Mizbeach. It became Nifsal because it was Yotze. Because having removed the Mishkan, it doesn't have a din of the Kedusha of the Machan, as you would have thought. Not because there's no Mizbeach there. So therefore, Kamashmalan, it's telling me that no, it's not true. As long as the Mizbeach was there, it doesn't matter if the Mishkan was no longer there, according to Rashi, even if you took down the Kiloyim. And it's not possible Yotze. Why? Why are you saying it? Doesn't it make sense to say that if there's no longer a machane shchina, so then anything that was there should be nivsal b'yotzei, the kachakachim should be nivsal b'yotzei, don't you think? I mean, where is the kedusha of the machane shchina? That's a special chiddush hakra, and it's a beautiful deal. It says in the pasuk, v'nasa ohel moed, here it's talking about the whole way in which we're talking about the levim, which levim were in charge of which part, then we talk about the actual masa. As we say, that the B'nai Merari, they take down the Krashim, and they're going, first the Ohel Moed should go up ahead, and then comes Yehuda, then comes the B'nai Kahat. So what does that tell me? That it's still called an Ohel Moed. Well, it wasn't an Ohel Moed. They've taken it totally apart. And yet it says, V'nasa Ohel Moed, that the Ohel Moed is going to be traveling. So what do you see from there? Afal Pisha Nasa. They may be traveling, but it's still called an Ohel Moed, and that means that it's not going to be a breakdown in the Kedushas HaMachaneh if it's still an Ohel Moed, and the Kachay Kachim are not possible Yotze, and therefore the only thing we need to discuss is whether there's a Mizbeach. Okay, that it's consistent that if the Mizbeach is still there, and there's still a Halacha of the Machaneh, so then that's coming to tell me that it's kosher mitam Yotze, and as long as there's an actual presence of a Mizbeach there, then all of the kachim that are there are still edible. Now, once we're talking about the measurements of the Mizbeach, and we're talking about the Mizbeach, the Machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether we learn out the measurements of the Mizbeach from the Mizbeach of Yecheskel, Or do we learn the combination, the Ravua, do we learn it from a combination of the dinim of the Mizbeach HaZohav, the Mizbeach Achitzain, and it's referring to the height. So you remember all of these Machlokas, and we spoke about yesterday. Turns out that there's a very, very different relationship of the proportions of the Mizbeach that was there at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mizbeach that was there at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and we spoke about the question of whether we literally had to be Mekadesh the floor, which is what Rabbi Yehuda holds, because there literally wasn't Mokum, because according to him, we learned it out from the Mizbeach of Yecheskel, which meant that not per one Amma, which is what we thought, but per 36 Ammas, we were able to bring Elef Korbanos at one day, which is what Shlomo HaMelech used to bring. And now we need to bring 142,000 in the Chinuch from the new Beis HaMikdash, so we had to make the entire Chatzar kosher for bringing Korbanos. That was the whole discussion about whether you could do Zrika that way, or you can only do the Emunah that way. I'm just trying to remind you of all the exciting things we've been talking about here. But we didn't talk about the gradations, the way that the Mizbeach actually evolves. It's not just a question of flipping directly from the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. There were also stages, because remember that the different places where Klal Yisrael had a Mizbeach were very different from each other. So we had the Mizbeach in the Midbar, which was Mizbeach HaMesh Rabbeinu, and then in coming into Eretz Yisrael, remember that the Bomais became Mutarot, and the period in Gilgal, also we put up the Mishkan in Gilgal. But then, what we forget, because we constantly focus on the Binyanim of the Beis HaMikdash, and we've lost our Chibur to Shiloh, except, of course, for Barnea, and perhaps, of course, alone, all those who constantly travel to Shiloh. So, but remember, Shiloh was not a brief interlude in Klal Yisrael's history. Shiloh was almost around as long as the Beis HaMikdash was, as long as the first Beis HaMikdash, right? So the first Beis HaMikdash, you're talking about the 410 years, and here you're talking about 369 years. I mean, it's not all that different. And if you put together the time of Shiloh with the time between Shiloh and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which would include the period of Novin Givon after Shiloh was destroyed with the death of Eli, so then you have to add an additional period of Nov and Givon, which was another 57 years before the Beis HaMikdash was built. So that means that there was also the development from the Mizbeach and Shiloh, and that was not the regular Ohel Moed. Shiloh was a binyan of Avanim. It was only covered on top with the same, according to the Rambam, with the same actual Ohel Moed, with the same things that had been used in the Midbar. And it was covered on top. And the question is, what was the Mizbeach over there? That's not clear. And then Nov and Givon was yet different. And then we finally came to the Beis HaMikdash. And as we're going to see, there was a difference between the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Rishayim and the Beis HaMikdash when they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra. So there's different stages. And these stages are merumas in the Torah itself, because we're going to see that the Torah refers three different times to Mizbeach Avani. So Omar Ravuna Omar Rav, the Mizbeach of Shiloh was actually made of Avanim, and it no longer was the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu had made of Nechoshet. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, why does the Torah say in three different places it talks about Ve'i Mizbach Avanim Ta'aseli right there in Mishpatim? So if you're going to make a Mizbach Avanim, so then Lo Tivnel Tam Gazit, as we're approaching Mishpatim, actually. And then we also have, finally, when Torah describes all the way at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, it says, Uvanita Shom Mizbeach Lashem Elokecha Mizbach Avanim. And then it says, Avanim Shleimot, Tivnet Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. This is three separate times that it mentions Avanim. It goes out of its way to mention Avanim. And it could have just said one time, Banita Shom Mizbach Avanim Shleimot. I mean, but instead the Torah separates it out. Why? Why, says Rebbe Tanya, why does the Torah say, asks Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, why does the Torah say avanim, 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 shalosh be'amim? They come to refer to three different mekomos where we make a mizbech avanim. And that's a reference to Shiloh, which was the first mizbech avanim, and then the mizbech in Nov and Givon, which was not the same Kedusha because over there didn't aser other places. The Bamot were Mutarim. And the Beit Olamim in Yerushalayim. So in all cases, we have a Mizbech Avanim. So Masr Bach Bar Ami, how can you say that the Mizbeach in Shiloh substituted a Mizbeach Avanim for the Mizbeach of Nefoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made? Because we have a Braita that says that the Eish Shiyarda Min HaShamayim Bimei Moshe Lo Nistalka Miyal Mizbeach HaNefoshet Ela Bimei Shlomo. So all of the years from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu had made the Mizbeach for the Mishkan in the Midbar, all of the years in the Midbar, and all of the years of it that we also came in Gilgal, and all the way through the time of Shiloh, it says, until Yarda B'nei Shlomo, you're talking about centuries and centuries over here, and the Eish stayed on that Mizbeach the entire time until Shlomo HaMelech built his Mizbeach, and then there was no longer using the Mizbeach on the Choshet. And that Eish that came down on that day, the Eish was Yored on the day that Shlomo HaMelech had made the chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, that it says in Divrei HaYomim, that the Eish came down in the same way that it came down in the Midbar and Shmos, and everybody saw, and so on. So that Eish Yod of Bnei Shlomo, that stayed there until Menashe came along. There's one Nistalka Shabbat Menashe, Vasilka Menashe, that we learned to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Menashe actually destroyed the Mizbeach. So that Eish stayed on that Mizbeach until it was actively, the Mizbeach was ruined by Menashe. But if what Ravuna said is right, imita, so then you're telling me that there was no longer the Mizbeach and the Choshet at the time of Shiloh, and that we substituted instead the Mizbeach Avonim. So then that means it was a different Eish. The Eish had to come down onto that new Mizbeach Avonim in Shiloh. And what are you telling me, that it was the same Eish that was on the Mizbeach of Moshe? Not true. Was centuries before Shlomo HaMelech. 4 centuries before. What are you telling me? It stayed there until Shlomo. Now, look. the next Gemara, I find very disturbing. I'll explain to you why. But nonetheless, there's no option but to explain the Gemara according to the way Rashi explains it, because of the lush. Because whenever we say the words, who di Omar ke, what it means is you can't ask a kasha on me from a braita or a shita the Tanoim, because I'm going according to another shita of Tanoim. That's what those words always mean, who di Omar ke. And since it says, who di Omar ke, Rav Nasan, so basically Rav Huna was relying on a different shita. What was that shita? That was the shita of Rav Nasan. And Rabbi Nassim says that the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh was actually made of Nechoshet, but it was hollow in the middle, and it was filled with Avanim. So you see that according to him, now, if it hadn't said the words Hu Di Omar, and it had just said Ki Rabbi Nassim, so then you could have answered that he holds that the Mizbeach HaNechoshet was the same Eish, except that instead of filling it with the sand in the Midbar, they filled it with Avonim, and then you wouldn't have a problem. But since it says this is a different Shita, so obviously that's not how we understand, Gemara understands it, and it means that according to Rabbi Nassan, it means that indeed it was substituted at that time. So basically, we know that we have, to say it the way that I would have said it answers a lot of other problems also. Because, I mean, the obvious problem is, why do we have to say he follows the Shita of Rabbi Nosson? We could have said he follows the Shita of Rabbi Yosef ben Yaakov. We just said we have a Braita that darshans why it says Avanim, Avanim, Avanim three times. So then that means one of them was for Shiloh. I don't understand what the problem is. We got to schlep in the Shita of Rabbi Nosson. It matters to us whether it was made also out of Mechorshes. I mean, how does that have to do with anything? Right? The Rashi answers that problem by saying that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov didn't say you have to make it with Avonim. He said you could make it with Avonim. Okay. All right. The whole Gemara, the Pashtus is that if you hold according to Rabbi Nosson, then you don't have to say that the Esh was Nistalik from the Mizbeach and the Korshet because it was still a Mizbeach and the Korshet. But okay. We have no choice. We have to read it the way that nobody says, let's change the Girsa. And therefore, we have to read it. That ain't a chinami. Rav Nosson argues. And Rav Nosson holds that there was a different Mizbeach, albeit it was made out of Nefoshet. And it was filled with Avonim. And that was the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov part. I must say, it really hurts to say that. But there doesn't seem to be much of a choice. Anyway. So therefore, we've got basically two shitas. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak says, "What two shitas? There's no problem over here. There's no machlokas. When we say that the Eish was not nistalik, what do we mean necessarily? That all of the Eish was on the Mizbeach and the Toshet? No, it means the lashon of nistalik means that it left." The fire never left the Mizbeach on the Choshes during the time of Shiloh, not because there wasn't a Mizbeach upon him in Shiloh, there was. But they kept around the Mizbeach of the Mechorshet, which Moshe Rabbeinu had made, and the Eish that had come down in the Midbar stayed on that Mizbeach partially. It wasn't Nistalik totally. What do you mean it wasn't? What is that supposed to mean? Mahi, in what sense? The Rabbanan say it means that it used the fire. Remember that this is the fire. Remember that we spoke earlier, that Gabi had asked about a month ago, like why we're talking about specifically the wolf. Why aren't we talking about a lion so that we could use a lion for the chelik of Yehuda because he's a gur aryeh. And then the wolf part would be, you know, the part of Binyamin. Why do we have to say it was two different things? As we explained over there, the tiruf is the actual attack. And that is the Zrika Saddam. And the Achila, yeah, the lions, they come and they eat it. And it could be they'll take it away even from the wolf, which is actually what happens because the fire on the Mizbeach, that's why we call the Mizbeach the Ariel. It's the lion because that fire took the shape of a crouching lion, as Gemara says later. And whenever the Mizbeach was eating, the fire jumped on the Emurim, or on the Basar Eila, and ate it like a lion. But that's the Achila. Anyway, so it lived, the lion lived on the Mizbeach and HaKoshet. And then when something was put on the new Mizbeach, it would shoot out a paw and burn it, so to speak, by shooting out flames onto the other Mizbeach. And that would be the Achila of the Mizbeach, but it was never Nistalik. That's the way the Rabbanan say. Rav Papa says, no, I mean, that's weird. But what it means is that, you know, if there wasn't any business on the Mizbeach in Shiloh, so it would go back home, you know. It would live sometimes on that Mizbeach. It was like Unushpizi. So Ishpiza, Abinaket, Zimninacha, sometimes it visited that Mizbeach. Sometimes it visited that Mizbeach. So, after all, lions are born free, remember? So, therefore, the Eish al Mizbeach went from one Mizbeach to the other. Now, let's take a look at the actual sizes of the Mizbeach. Again, of course, we're doing this on multi-level. We're pretending that our problem is why they needed a bigger Mizbeach. In actuality, we're looking at the entire picture, which ends up relating to the fire that was on the Mizbeach. So that's why we bring this in here. It's very interwoven question of the actual fire, which we pretended that we're only bringing in because of the kasha that wasn't historic. And so it turns out that it's very nogea, the actual size of the Mizbeach, which is what our real concern was here from the beginning, as we will see. So, what do we have in the Braita? It's actually a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Midos. And it says in the Mishnah in Midos that Kisha Alu, the Ne'agola, so when they came up from Bavot Eretz Yisrael, they had to make the Mizbeach larger than it was before. Osifu alav arba amot min adaron, the arba amot min hamarav, k'min gama. So let's think about what's going on over here. Remember that we talked about the size of the Mizbeach at the time of Shlomo. So what we had over there, remember, we ended up with the Mizbeach of 20 by 20. That was in the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda both agreed that you've got 400 square amot of burning surface on the Mizbeach. Now, if you've got 400 square amos of burning surface, how big was the whole Mizbeach? Well, you needed an extra amo on either side, all four sides. Let's work backwards. For the Mokom Hilach Ragle HaKohanim, and then you needed another four amos, one on each side, for the Mokom HaKronos. So that means that if the surface was, burning surface was 20 by 20, then the actual surface of the top of the Mizbeach was 24 by 24, because we had to take off two for each one of these, if it goes on both sides, and top, bottom, all sides, and we had to take off another two for the Koronais, again, one arm on all sides. So that brings us to 24, right? Now we need to add an additional amma, we're going outside, for the amma of the Sove. And then we need to yet another, add another amma for the amma of the Yesod. So how big was the entire Mizbeach? 28 by 28. Now, we know that the Mizbeach of the second Beis HaMikdash was 32 by 32. How did they make it 32 by 32? Where was the additional area? The additional area was actually on that very side, which was the Doron that didn't have the Amma Yisod, plus an extra Arba Amot from the western side, which brought the Mizbeach closer to the Heichal. Right, you've got the picture in front of you, and it was like a Greek gamma. So the Greek gamma looks like the equivalent of the Hebrew letter Chof Sofit, right? Except that Chof Sofit has a longer one, but it's like a Chof, except that it's square. By the way, one of the cutest things is that based on this Gemara, there's a big machlokas haposkin about whether if a sofer makes a chof pshuta, which is the chof sofit, if the end of the chof is not rounded the way it's supposed to be, and it's drawn as a box, as a square, is that kosher or not? So one of the rayas that are brought by the poskim, the rishonim, that it is kosher is our Gemara, because since it says they added a gamma to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach has to be merubah, and all of the Gemaras and Mefarshim explain, well, what's the tzuras ha'os of a gamma, of a Greek gamma, is doma lechof pshuta. So lechof pshuta means that that way you'd have a chof pshuta, but it has a square edge. So you see that the chof pshuta is actually kosher if it's shaped like a Greek gamma. They're fascinating. Nogea the dinim of Ksivas Sefer Torah. But anyway, so they added that, those sides. And why did they actually need to make it bigger? Says Rav Yosef, because there wasn't enough room on the Mizbeach for the Korbanos. Omele Abaya, that's a joke. Wasn't enough room if in the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon we had a population of millions. There it says, Yehuda, Yisrael, Rabim, Kukol, Asher, Alayam. And there the Mizbeach was fine. No problems, right? 142,000 korbanos all in one day. That's good enough. And now you got these measly 40-some thousand people that come up. It's Arba Ribo with another few hundred. So you got these 42,000 people. For them, it's not enough. What kind of explanation is that? It's crazy. Oh, Marlene, no, it's not crazy at all. Take a look at the interwovenness of it. It's brilliant. I can tell you, just trying to write one frameworks article, it's so much interwoven stuff. It takes literally a year to figure out the multi-leveled way in which different things will fit in just for a few pages. Here you've got an entire shot, which is interwoven to such a crazy extent that you're never able to parse it. Anyway, so the difference is, says Rav Yosef, that in the first Beis HaMikdash you had the Eish Min HaShamayim, and the Eish Min HaShamayim actually burnt the korbanos. So if you've got this magic lion that's growling and biting all your korbanos, of course it will finish up all of things. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Eish was there, as the Gemara Yuma says, the Eish had to be there, but it didn't do any work. It refused to eat. And so because of that, it took forever to burn these korbanos. You could only use these silly bipeds that walk around out there, and they make this fire, you know. So, okay, so you use that fire, mitzvah havim in a hedyot, but it took forever till things were burnt, so they needed to have a much bigger burning surface. So they added these four amos to get 32 by 32, and that way they had enough space. When Ravin came, and he came to Bavel, so he said that Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi quoted Bar Kappara, that the reason they ended up making the Mizbeach bigger was not because of the space. The reason was because of the sheeting. So now, let's remember the idea of the sheeting. So in that, we know that Bereshis, as the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Bereshis can be read Bora Sheet, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria was the connection of the Mayim that was on the surface to the Tahom, which was the connection ultimately of the way in which we dealt with the Mayim HaYonim and the Mayim HaTachtonim by putting the Melach Brit, and that was on the Mizbeach, and that reunited the different levels of Mayis Bereshis. So those Sheetim were part of Bereshit. The Sheetim was actually located closer to the Heichal, and they were further south than the Mizbeach was, and there was a place you would pour out the Nesachim on the Mizbeach. They would run down the edge of the Mizbeach, go along the floor to a particular bar where over there they hit the Sheetim, and then they would go down to the Tahom. They did not make a connection to the Sheetim on the Mizbeach originally, because they thought it was usher to have any type of hollow area in the Mizbeach. Now, we learned earlier, remember, that the raya, that you could put something in the mold and subsequently remove it, was because that's exactly what was done for the Karnot HaMizbeach in order to put the Mayim and the Yayin, the Mayim for the Nisach HaMayim, which of course was the main reconnection of the water in the Eilam, with the original water that Adam HaRishon was mispalel on. That was the work of the Geshem of the year on Chag HaSukkos. Anyway, so they determined at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and remember, Rabbosai, that the time of the second Beis HaMikdash was a time of tremendous hisgabrus of the Teresh Baal Peh. And that's the time where we have the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla, and they are called Gedoyla because they were Machzir HaTara LeYoshna. And that it was a tremendous insight that was beyond even that of the Nevi'im, who had left out the Keal HaGadol HaGibor HaNeira. They restored it, the Gibor HaNeira, and they had new insights in Torah, and that's why they paskin incredibly that the Deres HaRishenim for millennia year, basically, was the way that was assumed, many centuries anyway, that the Mizbeach does not need to be over the Sheetim. And they darshan that the Mizbeach itself has to be directly over the Shittim, and that you need to leave a hollow space in the Mizbeach for the Mayim and the Nesachim to be going through to the Shittim. And therefore, and we'll see how they darshan it from the Pasuk, and therefore they had to have the edge of the Mizbeach, which is the edge where the Nesachim are poured, and the Mayim is poured on Sukkos, which is the west next to the Eichal, and south, which was that place where there was one Am of Yesod, and that was directly above the Shittim. So therefore, says Bar Kappora, the reason that they were Mosif Arba Amos was to reach the Shittim Osifu. Meikor, at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they had made a mistake, or that was their shita. I can't say, according to us, it's a mistake. It says, Mizbach Adama. Adama means it needs to be like the earth. The earth is atum. It's completely a solid block of material, which is Adama. But later on, at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they realized that the way in which we understand the Mizbeach is Achilat HaMizbeach, right? Well, if there's Achilat HaMizbeach in terms of the Imurim, then the Nesachim are Shtiyat HaMizbeach. And the Mizbeach has to be able to drink it. Not that you pour it over it. It's like, you know, what are you going to, you're going to give your child a drink by pouring it over their head like they're a flower. No, you're supposed to drink it. I do that to all kids, you know, kids and grandkids. You know, you want to drink, pour it over their head. But actually, you're supposed to pour it down their mouth. And the same thing is true of the Mizbeach. So originally they held that you pour it over the Mizbeach. And they realized the Mizbeach has to drink the same way that it has to eat. And therefore, if it says Mizbeach Adama, it can't mean that it's a solid piece of earth. It must simply mean Mizbeach Adama only means She'eim Chubar Ba'Adama, which we learned earlier. Shelo Yivnenu, Lo Agabe Kipin. We said before, the Mizbeach cannot be built on top of Kipim or on top of subways. It has to be built directly on top of the Mizbeach. And that was the reason that we made it larger. And the Mizbeach Adamah is not coming to tell me you can't have these hollow tubes. They're not really tubes, but they were left as the equivalent of tubes, hollow spaces that go through the Mizbeach into the Shittim directly. Now we'll see, there's actually another explanation, but that we will learn on Matzah Shabbos Kedesh.